74 in a moment. Why does health insurance keep costing more whilst the value we get from it and the opportunities you get for to claim seem to be becoming less? Dr. Dwayne Crombie is the managing director of one of the big health insurance companies called Bupa, but he's not here to advertise his organisation at all. He's here to answer some of the simple riddles. Dr. Crombie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Do we get value from our health insurance these days? It seems to be ever diminishing.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean,
health insurance is expensive because healthcare is expensive, and I think every public and private system in the world is struggling with this challenge at the moment. I don't know whether it would help just to kind of look at what drives that 5% a year, but I think that would help people understand perhaps. About half of that 5% is what we call cost of living. Typically, you pay hospitals extra costs for nurses, other health professionals, running costs. The other half is a number of factors. The biggest is ageing. And we've also got this issue of the fact there are baby boomers. There are actually a lot more baby boomers. So you've got the huge population spike. The oldest are now 71. There's so many more things we can do. And baby boomers are living a lot longer, which is all good, but we're paying the cost. And ironically, the last thing is really the technology. In most industries, technology helps drive costs down. In healthcare, it tends to drive costs up because you're giving people slightly better quality of life or slightly less pain. So that's how you get to your five. And for most people who get a rebate, the government's decision a few years ago to cap their contribution adds about another 2% to the cost every year.
And we're beginning to think this is ridiculous. We did have a government-owned insurer which kept the market in check. And we were told, we were guaranteed when it was privatised that it wouldn't mean there would be an increase of an extra increase in fees. And clearly all of those concerns were absolutely right. As soon as the government-owned provider was privatised, bang, costs have gone off.
True, but there's only two listed health insurance companies out of the 36, 34 mutuals. We're a provident fund. None of us have shareholders apart from the two listed companies. I think the real issue, if you think about it, is you need to understand what's driving health insurance costs, and it's the cost of healthcare. And to be really blunt, there's only a couple of ways you can slow down the rate of cost of healthcare. Either you need to find ways to do it more cheaply or more effectively. And typically that means doing it sometimes in the community where you don't need an expensive hospital. And the other thing is not doing things that don't make a difference. A lot of healthcare sometimes doesn't make a difference.
There's been a number of studies, including one here by the Austin Hospital, into what's called futile care and the extraordinary revelation that I can't remember the exact proportion, but a staggering amount of what's spent on your healthcare is spent in the last couple of months of life. What do you do about that from an economic point of view, spending money on prolonging people's lives sometimes just for days, weeks or months?
I think, you know, having like been on the front line in a hospital and you've got the person in front of you, I think people confuse giving people care and doing all sorts of medical interventions sometimes that are not going to undo 70 or 80 years of life. And I think that's because there aren't that many community options to support families and people. They get into a system like a hospital and they get the typical medical nursing interventions because people feel they have to do that. But it's not really care in the normal sense of the word.
But it's a vast drain on the nation's resources for very little measurable outcome.
Yeah, and I think the real challenge when you think about it is as much about philosophical about, you know, what we would want to do for people in the last few years of life, because no one wants to say we've, you know, forgotten you and we're not going to help. I think the challenge is how do you find, for many of these people, they don't have social support systems, they're very ill, sometimes they have dementia. How do you care for people, but not necessarily, you know, the average hospital admission is probably $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 in an acute care facility. That's not really the answer to many people's problems. And that doesn't mean to say we should not treat people. It's finding the balance.
Younger Australians more and more are not even taking out health insurance. So that's the marketplace telling you, voting with their feet, telling you we can't see the value in it.
Totally agree. It's one of the key issues facing us as a country. We have community rating, one of only three countries in the world. And that's a bit like the tax system, believe it or not. Community rating means everybody shoulders the burden. And typically people under 50 shoulder that burden for people over 50.
Well, as more and more young people pull out, then you're left with all the people who are expensive to treat left in there, and then costs will just keep going. Surely you need the healthy young people paying premiums and hardly ever claiming in order to make the whole thing work.
Totally. That's the social contract of community rating.
Well, you're failing. Industry, you're failing.
Yes.
I'm not saying you personally.
No,
industry.
I take your point, but I mean, we certainly need to articulate what we could do for younger people, because what they want might be different from what traditional health insurance products are. I mean, millennials have a view about what they want, and I think we need to change faster. But I think the people in the community need to realise this is something we're all grappling with. To the extent we don't help people solve it in the private system, you're going to have to deal with that in the public system. So there's no getting away from it as a community.
Do you need to offer specific products, things like catastrophe insurance, which are a bare bones package, that are available to young people just to get them into the health insurance sphere?
One idea we've come up with as an industry is actually to give people who join before 30 2% permanent lifetime discount for every year they joined before. Obviously, we'd need to change the regulations, but that would be something tangible.
Young people don't think about getting old.
True.
They think about now and they go, well, I don't want health insurance, I'm not going to get sick, but I might fall off my bicycle or, you know, hit my head on a rock when I'm surfing or whatever it is that recreationally they're doing. They may think of it in those terms.
Well, I think you've hit on the exact issue. I mean, you know, people don't buy health insurance from us, believe it or not. They buy a need to get access to healthcare quickly. They buy peace of mind. Some people want to be able to help their own health and well-being. It's some of those things we've got to get a lot better at actually engaging with people on their different wants.
Interesting. It's one of those, another example where the industry's blaming the customers for not buying their product.
Not blaming at all. If you listen carefully to what I've said, we need to change to be able to prove to people there is a value to them individually. There's also this value to the community through the social contract. So we need to be able to articulate both those things to
That's
people.
Certainly, well, it affects so many of us. Look, I'm delighted that you were prepared to come and explain these things, because by and large, people in your industry, and particularly at the managing director and CEO level, hide away and don't like to engage with the public. So I thank you very much for that, and welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your answers to my impertinent questions today. Dr. Dwayne Crombie, who is the Managing Director of Bupa Health Insurance. It's 11 minutes to 10. Back to your calls, 1300 222 774, 1300 222 774. Ian in Montrose waiting patiently. Good morning.